Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, and welcome to the latest and greatest episode of the official Dom J Radio Show. Thank you to everybody that's tuning in. How are y'all doing, world? I hope you're staying safe out there, still wearing your mask, washing your hands, staying sanitized, of course, because as you know, we're still in this pandemic. But on today's show, we're getting into the latest BlizzCon news because I'm a nerd and news related to gaming and especially things that may relate to my stock portfolio interest me. Another COVID-19 vaccine was approved, discussing the latest free agency news in the NFL. NBA All-Star break is coming around the corner. The latest in streaming entertainment and what I've been watching, all of that and much more after this brief message. This episode's spoken word selection is brought to you by the official Dom J WordPress page, The Invisible Eye, content created by DR Johnson. Up next on the official Dom J Radio Show. She woke up. There were only weed crumbs on the covers. A deep indent of where I last laid in the sheets. I disappear with the night into the sun's horizon and wait until we meet again. If we meet again. Until then, your cerebellum will remember my shadow. Your curves will still feel my fingertips. For the night made us more than we are. The numbness of the night gave way to the warmth of the day, accepting me this time, but rejecting me as a concept the next. Glorious sunrise or not, we are two and not one. The mental distance carried over to physical separation and made it a must that you sit and wonder. Not what nor how, but simply why. Confusion and frustration dance in your brain as snakes. Your glands water for reasons you cannot fathom. You wonder if it was a dream. A mirage that fell upon you and refused to be lifted. Until answers have been given, not what nor how, but simply why. An anger all too familiar has risen again and has begun creating waves upon your brow. They recede and crash in successful succession. Asedumbrado para mis intenciones crueles. You deserve none. Please hold yourself to a higher regard than anyone else. Merecea. So when you wake up, there will only be weed crumbs on the covers. A deep indent of where I used to lay, and this is the morning after. Big time state of mind.
What's good, official Dom J Radio listeners? It's your boy, Agent Jerry, stopping by to let you know Dom love the podcast, man.
In music for your consideration, man, we just had Drake drop an EP, the Scary Hours 2 EP. We've been waiting for Certified Lover Boy. He had tweeted that it was dropping in January, but obviously as we sit here in March, it hasn't dropped, but he's dropped a little EP on us, a little three-pack, What's Next, Wants and Needs featuring him and Lil Baby, and a Lemon Pepper freestyle featuring Rick Ross. I think it was rumored a while back ago that he and Ross had enough songs to make a complete tape together, but I guess they're not going to put that out. I guess, you know, it may be some label interference in that sense, but Scary Hours 2, a nice little three-piece from the Certified Lover Boy. I don't know when we'll get that album now with another EP dropping. I don't know if this is going to end up being, you know, all three of these songs or one or two of these songs ended up being on the next album, but something I suppose just to hold us over until that album is complete. And I think obviously, you know, anything Drake touches or does is going to have the internet ablaze and abuzz. So let me know what y'all think about that one. Other albums that I'm listening to, music for your consideration, Customized Greatly 5, man, by Casey Veggies. I've been following Casey Veggies for quite some time, man, since I felt like a little backpacker back in undergrad and whatnot. He dropped some Customized Greatly 5, speaking a lot of rich talk on there. I like it, him talking his talk. Got songs featuring Tink, D-Smoke, and Wiz Khalifa on that tape. So definitely hip-hop heads, Casey Veggies stands, Fresh Veggies stands. You know what I'm saying? Definitely go check that out. Only the Generals Part 2. By Kevin Gates, Big Step of Music, you know what I'm saying? So Shout out to the home team for everybody from Louisiana. I know how y'all be feeling about Gates. He dropped something new. Let me know what y'all think about that. And the collection agency by your man Spitter, Currency. Definitely some more smooth tracks from one of the hardest working people in the industry. Only one feature on that tape, and that's Mr. Larry June. But again, man, anytime Spitter's dropping something for the Jet Lifers, you know what I'm saying? It's something to put into your instant rotation, especially heading into the weekend. So there you have it, people. What I've been listening to lately, music for your consideration. So like I said at the top of the show, one of the things I wanted to hop on the pod today and discuss was definitely BlizzCon. I'm a person that's wanted to get into going to the different, you know, gaming conferences, just haven't been able to fit that into my schedule. And then when a brother finally gets to a place where I think I can fit that into my schedule, coronavirus happens and shuts all that down. So one of the virtual conferences that I was looking forward to seeing was BlizzCon. And we got a lot of news. I don't play like a lot of Diablo and stuff like that. For me, the biggest news was related to Overwatch 2. If you're my girl, you know I play that shit a lot. And if you're somebody I play with, or you find me on Twitch at Official Dom J, I'm typically watching other Overwatch streamers, if not just supporting friends doing their own thing. But back to BlizzCon, some of the highlights that I'm definitely looking forward to are the new maps. I think that was one of the things that attracted me most to the game when I first started playing and was terrible at it. Simply god awful. But it was the diversity of maps. They had places like Paris, places that look like Egypt, obviously not being Egypt, and Temple of Anubis. You've got Hollywood, their own version of it, so that it's a really international feeling, so I appreciate that. And they're adding Rome and New York City as just a couple of the maps that will be coming up. Now, hopefully they're not 2CP, which is a two control point map, because those require the most cooperation and the most teamwork. And a lot of times in these 6v6 PvP moments, you're not always getting that. It's everybody trying to run ISO ball and just kill everybody on their own or do their own thing. And that makes it especially hard when you're being forced by map design to go through one or two, possibly a third choke point, knowing the defense is sitting there waiting on you to come through. More often than not, cooperation, unless your skill level is just so high and above the need for team play, the cooperation is going to be needed. But hopefully Rome and New York City, from what they previewed, hopefully both of those maps will not be control maps. Maybe they'll be assault maps. Maybe they'll be payload maps. Who knows? But I thought that's dope. I love new maps. And I think those are the sorts of things. We're talking about a game that's going on its fifth year here. You need to have people excited over those sorts of things. I don't think maps had to be stopped in general from being added, even if you weren't going to keep putting the same amount of attention and detail into your first game. But when it was rumored to maybe come out in 2020, once we got to like mid-2019, it was looking like a late drop, and then of course Corona hit, which pushed it back to at least 2021. But based on the quarterly earnings reports, the conversations they had with stakeholders, and then seeing what was said at BlizzCon, 2022 obviously may be the earliest window. I wouldn't even expect it early in 2022. I'd be expecting it maybe Q3 or Q4. But I mean, it's such a large project, man, from what they showed as to what's really going on behind the scenes. And so I'm not even mad that it's going to take a while. We're talking about passive abilities being buffed. There are some odd 25, 30 plus characters in Overwatch. I don't remember the exact number. But you like only a handful of them have passive abilities. But now with how they're doing Overwatch 2, you're getting a redefined sound engine for all the different settings, tunnels, urban, indoor, outdoor, all of those things will sound different. People's passive abilities are different because they'll have skill trees now that you can work specifically to tailor that particular character to your play style. You've got the character Sojourner with a railgun. If you played any other sort of PvP games, you know the damage that a railgun can do. You've got PvP hero missions to level up, the new progression system for each character, like I said, with a skill tree. That's fire, man. That's the sort of thing that if you're wanting people to continue to come back to a game, maybe not for what you initially thought the big push would be, having them with the ability to develop a skill tree is, I think it's a phenomenal idea, because again, it makes the character more customized to you, your play style, whether you're aggressive going in, whether you're a long distance sniper sort of shooter, a brawler liking to get up close and physical with big HP sort of characters and tanks, whatever it is, man, you'll be able to fine tune that based on the skill tree. So that is hella dope, something I'm looking forward to. You're getting the weather incorporated into certain maps and missions. Fantastic. You get some place like Volskaya Industries where it's cold, snowy. I think the feel that they're going for is more Ukrainian with that sort of map. For there to be snow coming in, that just makes sense. Incorporated into the atmosphere, things you'd have to naturally take into consideration if you were truly into that environment. The map that I referenced that's, you know, similar to Egypt, it's called Temple of Anubis. If there's a sandstorm, that just makes more sense, because again, it goes with the geography of the area and it just makes it more realistic in the sense of being in those actual elements. So that sounds like an easy layup and a dub to me. We got previews of a few different characters. They were all DPS characters, which is unironical considering that's the biggest category of characters for the game. But you got a new look at the Widow, McCree, Reaper, and Pharah skins. Small and minor tweaks here or there, but to go with the new gaming consoles and obviously my PC people having the best graphics available there, you can see all of the fine details they went into making. You know, small tweaks as far as McCree's outfits, the top and bottom halves, a lot of work went into the detail on Widow and her helmet. She's a sniper. Reaper, you know, changing the various shades of gray, if you will, or shades of black, which are two styles I'm always into, so I got no beef with that. And Reaper with the shotguns, hey man, you get close, this man's dressed in black, he could be blasting you, you don't even see it until it's too late. Pharah, they went back to the classic silver and blue dynamic that she's got with the gold trims on it. Lovely, lovely look. I think the hero missions stand out and can be a great PvP motivator on top of the aesthetics, the various sound engine tunings, the abilities themselves being buffed, because I think the hero missions will make for great PvE motivation in the sense of player versus everybody, or playing versus the AI, versus it just being PvP straight player v player, especially during the pandemic. Because again, you're trying to have people on your game, cooperating, building sorts of teamwork. And I think if you're adding so many diverse elements into each character, giving people more time to really understand that character and still play the game, progressing accordingly, doing that in a PvE setting is a great manner to do so. So hopefully, man, these hero missions, I'm hoping every character has a collective, I don't know what's a good number, maybe 20, 25 to get through a significant amount of skill tree and stories. Just thinking if there were like 8 specific missions, a skill tree with, you know, 3 options per, you can do all your permutations for all my people that are math aficionados on the possibilities there. Who knows what that exact number would be, but again, thinking of the hours that you could expect to be putting into this game, with each individual hero mission, man, it means it could be quite a time before you end up jumping to another hero, unless you just get in early and realize, I've, you know, jacked up how I'm building this, so I got to start again from scratch. So those are the sorts of things I'll be interested to see. But overall, man, I don't know what people expected out of a virtual conference. Having to do all of these things virtual obviously isn't going to be as cool as the in-person conferences where you get to go and have the meet and greets with the voice characters, get to put faces to sounds and names, where you get to see the community come together and share all the inspiration and motivation they have behind their cosplays, behind just their fanatic fandom that comes with, you know, loving a game and a particular organization that makes it. So I think, you know, I have to give Blizzard kudos for this. I know they get a lot of flack with some of the delays, and especially from the Overwatch community on the delays and the lack of balancing and things like that. But even though the first iteration of the game has slowed, they're not releasing any more characters and presumably not any more maps, even though we just got Kanazaka as an arcade map. And that is a great map, by the way. But I don't think it's obviously going to get as much playtime being an arcade versus it being a quick play or obviously competitive map. But I think I had to obviously give them props again just for putting the event on. Stocks rose a little bit surrounding the event, and then it kind of came back down as the weeks progressed past BlizzCon. But again, I'm excited. I'm sure if you're playing Diablo or World of Warcraft, you're excited about those developments. I'm not getting into them because I don't really play either of those. Just being honest with you, I was mostly excited about this Overwatch 2 news, so had to come in and stop and chat with y'all about that. If you're playing Overwatch, link with me on the PlayStation. Coming to PC soon, but on PS4 for now. Tell me what you think if you were one of the people watching BlizzCon, man. What are your thoughts? In other entertainment news, one of the dopest films that I have watched this past week was The United States versus Billie Holiday, starring Andra Day, produced by Lee Daniels. He has a great interview on the Larry Wilmore podcast discussing continuing the movement for equality and rights, and just an overall great podcast listen. So if you're into that, definitely check that out. But back to the movie on Hulu. First of all, shout out to Hulu. Not one that I use as far as the paid service, but the free version, no commercials after the movie began, was a pleasant surprise. I don't know if that's something new with Hulu or not, but usually it's a lot of ads on that joint. But the movie was very insightful, man. I love a good reflective piece. And again, it's another movie with a dope soundtrack. But we'll talk about that in a minute. She dealt with misogyny in the 40s, drug addiction through heroin, despite the civil rights rallying cry, which was Strange Fruits, which was a depiction of the lynching that was happening. People were mad at her for talking about her surrounding environment. Now, that's a very ironic thing when you consider about the nature of music is usually drawn from one's experience, obviously mixed in with some creativity, as is any artistic expression. But again, for there to be such disdain for the song Strange Fruits because it was, I think, one of the lines that were stirring up the wrong sort of emotions with people. I guess that was just, the mindset that people thought was appropriate for the 40s. Her having to use the service elevator despite being the hired talent. Imagine you going somewhere for a gig as a headliner, the star, the well-known singer, the voice of your generation. They make you use the damn service elevator where the people who work in this giant come through, specifically probably only blacks. It's tough. Tough movie, man. Her lawyer betrayed her. I mean, the dynamics, man. The lines that you got out of this movie, I loved it. Her acting was sensational, so shouts out to the entire production crew on that movie. If you haven't seen it, I should have put a disclaimer for spoilers, but by the time this drops, if you haven't seen it, you're on your own with that one. Okay, like I was saying, it's another great movie with a great soundtrack. So even if, you know, if you're, I don't know who started the trend with dropping and listening to the soundtracks before time. I can't get behind it. I like to hear it in a certain context and then see the movie, unless it's about to be the same day type of situation where the soundtrack drops at Friday at midnight or Thursday night, midnight, Friday morning, however you want to slice that. And I just happen to be up. And so I listen to the soundtrack before I might see the movie about it that's coming out that Friday. I mean, that's a rare occurrence, but I don't like to have the soundtrack ahead of time for the movie in most cases. Some standout tracks from The United States versus Billie Holiday would have to be Solitude, Lady Sings the Blues, All of Me, and obviously Strange Fruit. Just as some dope selections that I would recommend. What are y'all thoughts on the movie, man? I think it's another one. It could have come out anytime, I feel like. This sort of piece, this sort of period piece, reflective piece about one of our stars gone too soon. She died in her mid-40s. I just think it's one of those that, I mean, it,
you feel like the story could happen to anybody in any decade from us culturally. I feel like if we're talking a music icon of their generation, if we're talking an athlete breaking barriers in their specific generation, if we're talking mathematics, anything related to advancement, there's never really a bad showing of these in our culture. I feel like if I'm thinking of any piece that might have been I mean, I guess like the Will Smith version of Muhammad Ali was kind of, yeah, you know what I'm saying? But is that on the piece itself, or is that more about Will Smith? Because I know a lot of people love my man like I do. He's definitely an icon and an idol, but will shred to pieces his acting career. Anyway, I'm off on a tangent, but I digress. If you haven't seen the U.S. versus Billie Holiday, definitely recommend adding that to your Hulu streaming list. In other news that's definitely worth mentioning, in the last 24 or 48 hours, we've had two states completely open up 100% with Texas and Mississippi, lifting their mask mandates and letting all businesses reopen at full capacity. The executive orders were announced by their two Republican governors of the respective states. Even though health officials warned against loosening restrictions too quickly, it's just the irony of it, if we're being honest. You have Texas Governor Abbott essentially, I feel like, trying to draw away from the shitty infrastructure related winter storm debacle that just happened that killed Texas and had a bunch of people freezing their asses off, by then turn around and saying, oh, we got to do more now to get everybody back to normal and back to 100%. Because, you know, yes, COVID cases have dropped to a degree, but we're still, as a country, seeing about 70,000 cases a day, which is equating to about 2,000 deaths a day. So it's going to be interesting to see how people in Texas handle this, man. Just reading through the timelines, it appears that my Texas people are going to continue making smart decisions, which is always something I advise doing, because smart decisions win in the end. And so continuing to wear your mask, avoid crowds as much as possible, and wash your hands are all still smart choices that a person can make on a daily basis. So if you're under the sound of my voice at this moment in time and you live in Texas or Mississippi, does this alleviate your concerns about the coronavirus? Have you already been vaccinated? If not, what's the delay for you? Is it an age range? Are you not in the first wave of people that are getting access to it? Curious to see how people respond to this, man, because I can tell you from the people I've spoken to, I don't think the reception, if you're not a small business owner who's had to make amendments because of the pandemic, that this news is going to just be the blissful endeavor that it is being expected to be. So, I mean, with all these variants spreading, man, you still want to stand firm on those good practices, man. Like I said earlier, washing your hands, wearing your mask, not gathering in crowds. And that's gonna be hard to do with the population you have in Texas, bro, because like I said on the last episode, a hot spot or a hot zone for all things based on population and accessibility, man. So Biden saying there's gonna be enough vaccine supply for all adults in the U.S. by May, which is great. That's shortening the timetable from the initial end of summer that I was speaking about on the last podcast episode. But again, man, everybody needs to still be staying safe, wearing their mask, trying to do this for the first 100 days while he's been in office, obviously. So, you know, we're making progress and strides, but look, don't let them catch you slipping, man, because when you get caught slipping, they ain't gonna have no remedies for you, dog. And in continuing the entertainment news, man, just again giving Miss Andra Day her flowers. She actually won the Golden Globe Award for the best actress in that movie. So, you know, she's getting her praise and acclaim, rightly so. And it's happened expeditiously, and I'm here for all of it. I don't know if that's like the result of a new turnaround with these award shows and whatnot, having to be virtual and everything. The celebration between her and Regina King is priceless. Regina King really stole the show coming in and surprising her. I thought that was a beautiful moment that they got to share. But the movie only dropped a few days ago, and the award show was right after that. So for her to already have that acclaim sort of puts it into perspective as to how great her performance clearly was in representing Miss Billie Holiday versus the field and the entertainment therein that had already dropped. So again, just kudos to her, wishing Miss Andra Day nothing but continued success. Now, moving forward, something else that's dropping this month in entertainment is Paramount Plus, because you know I'm big on streaming, so we had to come talk about this streaming. New streaming platform, CBS All Access, is really revising and rebranding itself as Paramount Plus, and I think it's going to be interesting. They're talking, they'll have live sports, breaking news, and of course, a mountain of entertainment. It's going to be $10 a month, ad-free, featuring live news, like I said. It's going to have, you know, entertainment essentially like they've shown in the commercials from most of your favorite television shows. Essentially, that's what these new streaming services are doing. They're pulling their content and saying, we got a plus version of it. There's like Discovery Channel Plus, BET Plus, where everybody just wants to stream their own content as much as possible until the next person that actually owns the rights to the content says, nah, let me go ahead and snatch that. So, under the parent company of Viacom, CBS, Paramount Plus will be able to pull content from CBS, MTV, BET, Comedy Central, Nickelodeon. So, I mean, just thinking of those entities alone, the amount of entertainment you're going to have. But Paramount Plus won't have the single show most associated with the Paramount name, which is Yellowstone. The first three seasons of that cowboy drama are streaming exclusively on a rival service, Peacock. So again, you try and snatch up as many of the original contents as you can, but if they're owned by somebody else, NBC's got Yellowstone under the Peacock umbrella, so that's where it will stay. But Paramount Plus have a library of more than 30,000 episodes, over 2,000 movies, and a bunch of original series debuting throughout the year, some odd 30 plus. So they're going to have CG animation updates to like Nickelodeon's Rugrat for the nostalgia feel. If you're a 90s baby like myself, that may be something worth checking out. New studio dedicated to the Avatar, the Last Airbender concept. So again, something else to be checking out. Other new animated movies. And so for film fans, like they're doing with HBO Plus, where, you know, if the movie's dropping in theaters, you'll get it same day on HBO Plus. It's a little different with Paramount Plus. They will stream some big screen movies, but it won't be until about a month and a half after they hit theaters. So if I was knocking it, that's going to be something to knock right there. Because HBO Max is really killing that with the same day availability. Amazon Prime's even getting in on that as well. That's how they've dropped some of their content. So for them to not be doing it until a month and a half later, that's interesting. Interesting. You're talking like 5-6 weeks after something's dropped and you don't have it on your service, but it's coming eventually. Will the buzz around it and the draw that brings people in still be the same, or will it have dissipated? I guess, who knows, man? Who knows? Like I said, it'll be $10 subscription, but that's not going to be the only choice. They'll also have a cheaper 5-month base tier that'll have ads. And I suppose that'll be similar to like the free version of Hulu. They're like, you know, the paid premium ad-free version and the free version where you have your ads every 7 or so minutes or something like that. But if you're already a CBS All Access member, you're currently paying for the $6 a month tier, and that'll transfer over to Paramount Plus. I was not one of those people that had that. I mean, I like CBS, but getting in on another streaming service where it's really just pulling the majority of contents from other service providers, we'll see, man. We'll see. I'll be interested to see mostly what the original content slate looks like. Because, I mean, if you can't produce enough of your original content just relying on old content, that ain't going to draw me in that much. I know some people love the nostalgia of watching old shows. And like I said earlier, they're going to have a plethora to pull from. But again, if the original content flops, it will be interesting to see where Paramount ends up ranking after a year as far as streaming tiers go. So if you're diving into a new streaming venture and you're getting Paramount Plus, definitely let me know how you like it, what you think about it when it drops later this week. I'll be interested to see and get into that more as we find out more about it. In the latest coronavirus news, the United States now has a third vaccine available, currently only available to, you guessed it, first responders in the 65 plus community. But there is a third vaccine type with the Johnson & Johnson vaccine, which is a one dose vaccine getting its approval. I think that's pretty cool. I think because, again, if we're having this mass effort to vaccinate as many people as possible, as many people that want to take the vaccine in the hopes of turning quarters 3 and 4 of 2021 into something reminiscent of pre-pandemic times, then you have to have these vaccines out and available. Still a lot of dynamics. It's only hitting certain communities. We've talked about that on the previous episodes, but I thought this was some positive news to shed on the COVID-19 fight. It was 66% effective at preventing moderate to severe COVID-19 symptoms in a pretty big trial, man. I like those sorts of tidbits of information to see, you know, what's the severity of it? What's the range that they thought this efficacy would be at? Overall, they've got it at about 100% effective at stopping hospitalizations 28 days after vaccinations. There's Reese making her guest appearance and she's barking at somebody. But I think the difference in this is going to be the fact that it's a one dose go through. Could be big business for Johnson & Johnson. Big Pharma's winning regardless. But in this specific instance, having a one dose vaccine, we'll see, of course, how the side effects and everything pans out. What's the distribution actually like? They want to have 100 million doses available ASAP. We'll see how that goes. I think I was reading this morning, they were at the 40 mil mark as far as slated for the end of March. So we'll sort of see how that, you know, how those numbers really end up panning out. But having a third vaccine, this one's a one dose, does this change your mind at all if you were contemplating getting the vaccine when it's made available, of course? I assume the rollout for this is going to be slow still, but does it being one dose make a difference to me? I think so. Does my last name being Johnson also make a difference to me? Quite possible. Okay. So who knows, though. But in all seriousness, I'm definitely happy to have, again, like I said, more opportunities for more people to get vaccinated and continuing the fight against COVID-19. Stay safe, y'all. Stay safe. Keep washing your hands. Don't let up. Even though we've seen, again, you know, going on 6 consecutive weeks of lower mortality rate percentages, I think if you slack off now, that's how you end up in a relapse situation. And what I also think is helping out is the fact that we're out of that little killer season for a brief little moment. And what I mean by that killer season is that time of the year where people get to itching. They get to itching for traveling and they get to itching for vacation and spending. And so that time period, in my estimation, starts like right about Labor Day. All right, because you got Labor Day, then you've got Halloween. Halloween is huge to people, even though they may not travel for it. It's a big money spending weekend. You roll that into Thanksgiving, which rolls into Christmas, which rolls into New Year's, which rolls into Valentine's Day. Now, when I tell you that's the most expensive time of the year, routinely, annually, for your boy, it's definitely that most expensive time of the year. So I think, again, us not being in that, yes, we're about to come up on spring break. Who knows what that will be like? I presume it'll be a petri dish in a bunch of popular places because you're going to have people that are palms itching, ass itching. Ah, that could be a multitude of things in that instance, but in the sense of needing to get going, needing to travel, you know, can't sit still. People are going to be hopping out and about, man. March, Pisces season brings that out of folks. I can't lie. The good weather, even though I'm fighting allergies in the midst of fighting corona, so yeah, you're trying to be extra cool in public and not make too many cough sounds or sniffle sounds or whatever, because I don't like people looking at me crazy and whatnot. It's just that time of the year, man. The sun's coming out, so eventually you know what else is coming out, fellas. You know what I'm saying? So I think that's something to look forward to as far as, again, more options for vaccinations. Hopefully, reportedly, I'll say, the hope is to have, in Florida specifically, I can speak on Florida's behalf, is the hope to have it available to more groups of people starting in late March and April. Now, that's according to some of the latest reports. I don't know if the Johnson & Johnson vaccine is going to be on that same schedule with that news just dropping this week. But regarding the Moderna and Pfizer vaccines, hopefully people that aren't the first line of defenders or 65 plus will have access in late March and April. We'll see. I'm here for it. I'm here for anything that gets us closer to pre-pandemic times. And at this point in the fight against it, we're coming up on vaccinations. We're coming up on people who would have gotten the first dose if they haven't already gotten the second dose, so we can track them. So I'm all for it. More people, more people. Now, if you've listened to the podcast before, you know I'm big on voting and especially voting in local elections. So to hear some of the news that's coming out of Georgia this week is quite disturbing and a thing I hope that we can nip in the bud sooner rather than later, because they're trying to suppress the vote. Now, the House of Representatives is set to vote and likely pass a sweeping election reform bill, H.R. 1, as soon as this week, the first week of March. It's unlikely to pass the Senate, where the measure would need support from all 50 members of that party, caucus plus 10 Republicans. Republicans have said that the law would take powers away from states and raise fraud concerns, which is interesting considering the highly volatile amount of disinformation and sweeping unsubstantiated fraud claims that went on with this past 2020 election. So that's an interesting take for them to say that. While you have Democrats fighting to expand access to the polls through early voting, voting by mail, and other measures, efforts that expanded as the coronavirus pandemic raged. Now, that's just something that made sense, of course, obviously trying to ensure that everyone who still wants to vote has plenty and ample access to do so, whether that be voting early by mail or voting early in person. So things to ensure that people are doing their civic duties. Just makes more sense. You're trying to have more people with more access doing their civic duties as citizens of this country. Simple concept, I would think. But you have Republicans who are fighting those efforts and pursuing measures to curb access to the polls. And so Georgia's House of Representatives on this past week approved a bill that restricts ballot drop boxes and limits early voting on Sundays, curtailing traditional Souls to the Polls movement, which are voter turnout programs in black churches. And if passed by the Republican-controlled state Senate and signed into law by Republican Governor Brian Kemp, the measure could be devastating for black voters. And so, again, I don't want to say this is ever a situation that's to be taken lightly. We're still in a battle. A battle against people trying to stop others, mostly black people and other minority groups, from voting and having ample access to voting. Now, I don't really understand how any way you could slice this as anything but voter suppression, but I suppose if I was an ignoramus and believed it under the guise of trying to impede the amount of fraud in elections, okay, then I might, you know, obviously be an idiot and be understanding of the situation. But unfortunately, I'm not an idiot and not going to be understanding and hope that this just gets swept under the rug. Because that's pretty insane. Georgia's also got a fight brewing over the redrawing of a map, or redlining, as anybody that knows is familiar with, that could also impact and marginalize black votes even more. So this is really, really some trash that they're trying to get passed in Georgia through the House and the Republican-controlled state Senate. And I really hope that these bills do not get put into effect after you just had all the work of people like Stacey Abrams and others that are trying to get minorities to get out and get to the polls. And you have pillars in the black community like the church doing the Souls to the Poll drive on the weekends, because you know if you're black and attending church, that is one of the easiest ways to have a bunch of people in line to vote all on one accord at one time, plenty of drivers and availability. So that would be a damning thing for the state of Georgia to pass. And I really hope it doesn't get passed, because that's BS. That's moving backwards. That's not helping trend forward. You're trying to reiterate and re-energize people that want things to be marginalized. I can't support anything like that. And I really hope that everybody in Georgia If you can, remember to have your voting plans in order sooner rather than later. You've got the midterms coming up in 2022. You can see already what they're trying to cook up on you behind the scenes. So like I always say, stay woke, y'all.
Are you a school district or a parent looking for ways to improve the educational outcome of children? Consider Wells Consulting Service, LLC. Wells Consulting Service, LLC helps families and school districts provide quality service to all parties in the educational careers of students. Our vision starts with the firm belief that all students, regardless of their background, deserves access to high-quality education. We aim to assist our clients in producing the best educational outcomes for children, which involves a collaborative effort to shape both the children and the educational environment. As much, our team of educational advisors works closely with teachers and other stakeholders to improve the learning outcomes by assisting the learning community in the development of critical academic skills needed for success. In this effort, we hope to shape a culturally rich learning environment that will empower children to learn and overcome their challenges. Visit our website at wellsconsultingservices.com.
Diving into sports, I wanted to say condolences to Tiger Woods, man. That car crash was pretty crazy, but luckily he's gotten successful follow-up procedures on the injuries he sustained, a fractured right leg, shattered ankle. There won't be any more, you know, follow-ups from, I think, his social media accounts. They were just saying thank you for the support and everything that he's gotten. I thought we were, you know, for a second they're going to lose Tiger Woods during Black History Month, man, and that just would have been terrible. Obviously, the loss of life is always terrible, but to lose such an icon within individual sports during that month would have just been a terrible blow. So I think it stunned everybody, the rollover crash, man. It's always a scary scene when you can see the remains from, you know, an SUV that's been rolled over off the side of a cliff, man. It's a pretty hellacious thing to just sort of be able to get away from. But by the grace of God, that man is recovering and in good spirits. So we'll continue to pray for Tiger Woods. In other news, man, NBA news, you had the Pelicans this past week. I'm starting with the Pelicans, man. Shout out to the New Orleans Pelicans, the home team back home for those that love all things New Orleans. They're still, you know, not at 500 as we speak of, but they're showing you flashes of the growing core and the dominance that they can have on a given night. You had Zion taking over for them, beating the Jazz, who are 27-8 at the time of this recording, one of the best teams in the league. I'd already spoke about the Jazz, I think, a couple weeks ago, saying they had won 19 out of 20. That streak got into the 20s, so they've just been dominating. But Zion lifted up the Pelicans with a big third quarter, played some phenomenal basketball, considering he's an undersized old school four. But his game is expanding, but he's going up against one of the best defensive rim protectors there is in Rudy Gobert, but he wouldn't back down from anybody, man. So it was a great performance. The Nets are doing net things, winning the majority of the games, letting KD get rest going into All-Star break, which just makes sense. It's the regular season. We're not playing for regular season awards if you're KD and the Nets and first-year head coach Steve Nash, so that makes sense. You just let Irving and Harden kind of handle it, and obviously they're pretty damn talented, so things are going swell there. LeBron and my Lakers, man, it's rough. Up and down with this team without AD. AD's not coming back for at least a few more weeks from his injury, so I don't know, man. LeBron's trying to hold it down. We just got Schroeder back. I'm appreciative of his efforts playing that point guard position alongside LeBron. Just need to get AD back healthy and this team will be all right. I just hate seeing us lose. I know that's a spoiled fan thing to say, but I hate seeing my damn Lakers lose. In Houston news, because I like following, and we're still following Watson, y'all. So every day, hoping the Broncos call the Texans front office with new offers for Deshaun Watson. Free Watson, man. Free that guy. He don't want to be there. Doesn't matter if you got a new coach, a new GM. You ain't asked him, and he ain't appreciated during the search process. Didn't really consider his candidates. The man went out. Psh, hey, free that man. In Houston-related news, you have the Rockets, who have Victor Oladipo. They got him, traded him from the Pacers in that big deal, the big mega deal that got James Harden up out of there. They tried to give Victor Oladipo one of their future stars alongside John Wall a two-year deal, but he had to turn it down because he's looking for a long-term deal, which the Rockets can't offer until the end of the regular season. Now, that's interesting. I think the Rockets will end up trying to get Oladipo to re-sign because that would be smart. He's a great two-way player. He's recovering from injury, but I think we'll see a closer to the old sort of Victor Oladipo and his two-way dominance more next year than we will this season. But I'd also like to see that man hit free agency, to be honest. So he can get a bigger deal somewhere else. I mean, I don't want to say who's got room for him. He's looking to make deep championship runs that could make some maneuvers that would land him with a championship roster, you know, since people out in the East are building three-headed monsters, adding Oladipo to an AD LeBron mix. I'm just saying, could be nice. I know Laker haters ain't gonna like that, but I can dream, can I? In NFL news, you have three-time Defensive Player of the Year, J.J. Watt, signing a deal with the Arizona Cardinals, two-year deal, rumored to be around 30 mil with 20-plus guaranteed. Heading out west, man, leaving the Texans. So again, in more Houston Texans news, the team going through some things. The Houston sports teams are going through some things right now. You got all the memes going around on the internet of sad faces of Deshaun Watson potentially looking at DeAndre Hopkins and J.J. Watt reuniting in Arizona with Kyler Murray. And they used to be former Texans, man. So it's like watching your friends reunite in other places and you just gotta sit there and hope, damn, can I be next? Me next, please. Demand it if you have to. I think it's a good deal. Could he have gone, you know, getting back to J.J. Watt, could he have gone a number of places? I absolutely had rumors of, you know, could he fit with the Bucks, who just went to the Super Bowl and won? Could he fit with Green Bay and reunite with his brother in Pittsburgh? Would he fit in Cleveland? I mean, of course, yes. A lot of people could use his services. Do I think this, like, puts the Cardinals over the top? Probably not. They just let go of Patrick Peterson, Mr. All-Pro, Mr. LSU number 7. You know, he wore that jersey, put that on for the map. And I think they're retooling that defense, so this will help. But ultimately, I see them around 9 to 10 wins. And Kyler progressing this year, in spite of his coach, Cliff Kingsbury, to be honest. And I think they'll be better and make that playoff appearance that they just came short of this year. So I think it's a good move for the Cardinals. Happy for J.J. Watt. I don't think it really shakes the needles. Do I like them more than the Rams? Matthew Stafford-led Rams with that defense in their first year? I don't. Do I like it more than Russ with the Seahawks? Not really. Even if that situation is a little contentious between Russ and the Seahawks right now, I don't think this puts Arizona ahead of them either. That could be a flip-flop, though. But ultimately, I see the Rams coming out on top in that division. But it's a stacked NFC West division there. Now, this tension that seems to be low-key building between Russell Wilson and the Seahawks, all because of the quarterback, the franchise player, the player that everybody says is the most valuable on a team. You win games if you have one, and if you don't have one, you're not winning games. And so for him to say he wanted a little more protection, the man was tired of being hit. Then there seemed to be issues with the Seahawks feeling like, hey, man, why would you say that? Out loud, I suppose. In a report to a reporter, I don't think it's that big of a deal. It's pretty simple. I say, you know what? We always want to do our best to protect Russell. And if he thinks we need more protection, then damn it, we need more protection. Simple concept to me. I would just back up my, you know, Hall of Fame bound Super Bowl winning quarterback. But I guess the Seahawks are like, eh, we really appreciate that. They're going to take that route, the disdained corporation route. Interesting, man. Rumored to be 3 first rounds if you're calling to gauge a potential starting point for trade with Russell Wilson and the Seahawks, but they're not even really entertaining callers. So, I don't know, man. I'd like to see more quarterbacks on the move, to be honest. I think loyalty to these teams is really overpaid. overpaid in the sense of what they believe they're adding to you. Yes, in certain markets, you get a certain amount of exposure from a national perspective. You obviously have a certain amount of exposure, but every person on the roster can have that. You prop up the quarterback if he's that person, if he's that face of the franchise, or if you have other, obviously, stalwarts on the team. They're the ones in the commercials. They're the ones that you use on your homepage and you make your wallpapers, all of that good stuff out of. So it's interesting to me that they don't change more teams more often as far as these QBs are concerned, because they wield a lot of power. I think they're starting to figure that out more with each iteration that comes about. And I think we'll see more of that in the future, because you have situations also like the Cowboys and Dak. They're probably going to have to franchise tag him again. So that man's going to get all his guaranteed money next year. Some odd 30 plus million on the tag, which is great, but he wants a long-term deal. And they seem to be kind of meh on giving it to him just based on the QB market. Now, that's an insane thing, because they haven't had a great franchise quarterback, unless you wanted to call Tony Romo great for not winning too many playoff games and goofing off a lot of games by throwing terrible interceptions. The Cowboys haven't really had no good quarterback since Troy Aikman, bruh. Early 90s when I was a Dallas Cowboys fan via proxy, because my dad was one. And he still is one, which is unfortunate for him and some of my other friends, but that's none of my business, all right? But they seem to be kind of meh on re-signing their franchise quarterback. So if Dak hits the market too, man, it could be really interesting to see all these QBs in their prime changing locations. I'm here for all of them. Power to the people. And there you have it, ladies and gentlemen, episode 26 of the official Dom J Radio Show. Pisces season, baby, embrace it. It's upon us. I feel like Thanos putting in the Infinity Stones into my gauntlet, baby, powering the fuck up. But in the between time, in the meantime, as always, y'all, please like, share, and subscribe to the page. The support definitely is felt, and I appreciate it. Want to continue to grow the audience, continue to have guest features on. That includes other podcasters, other friends in their respective fields and endeavors, because I want to continue highlighting those people around me doing great things. So as always, in the meantime, in between time, y'all stay blessed, less stressed, drink plenty of water, and mind your business. Stay woke. Don't let them catch you slipping. And on the next episode, we'll get right back to it. Peace.